Hello and welcome everyone to the latest Charity Digital podcast. Today we're talking about cybersecurity, and even though Spooktober and Cyber Awareness Month has come to an end, that doesn't mean that we need to stop talking about it. If anything, you need us to continue to remind you how important it is. We would all like to think that with all the good that charities are bringing into this world, they wouldn't even be considered when it comes to cyber attacks. But the reality is that charities are a prime target for cyber criminals due to the high level of data they hold and the limited resources which to protect it. But don't you worry, we have you covered. Before I hand over to our lovely panel of charity speakers, I want to introduce Becca from the NCSC to give you a little background on the survey we ran in conjunction with them. Becca, over to you.
This podcast is sponsored by the National Cyber Security Centre, which is a government department that's dedicated to making the UK the safest place to live and work online. My name is Becca, and I am the National Cyber Security Centre's charity sector lead. So earlier this year, Charity Digital ran a survey to help us both to understand how we can better support the charity sector to develop their resilience against cyber attacks. So I just wanted to start by thanking you all so much for taking the time to reflect and complete the survey. We found the findings really insightful and thought-provoking. And so we're delighted to be listening to Emma, Jerry, and Jane talking about the findings of the survey, but from the perspectives of their charities. I hope that you enjoy it as much as we're going to enjoy making it.
Thanks, Becca. And that gave you a sneak preview into who's joining me today. So my name is Mimi Morrell. I'm the event manager here at Charity Digital. And today I'm joined by Jane Atkin, Director of Finance and Resources at Mayday Trust, Jerry Crowe, Director of Operations and Support at Mary Stevens Hospice, and Emma Boyd, Head of Marketing and Communications at Sheila Mackney Foundation. Welcome, everybody. And how are you doing today?
All good here. Thank you very much.
Lovely. Oh, I wish we were doing this in person. It'd be so nice.
Thanks for having us.
Brilliant. Okay, I'll jump straight in. So as Becca said, we did a survey back in August. So just to give you a bit of background, since August, we've been able to go through the findings with a fine-tooth comb, and I want to discuss these findings with you all today to encourage an honest and open conversation on your own experience within the sector on cybersecurity. To start us off, I wanted to share a key finding that stood out to me, and this was that 95% of our survey respondents said that they know of the importance of cybersecurity, and more than 4 out of 5 charities have changed their behaviour towards cybersecurity in the past 18 months. However, when we asked them, how would you rate your cybersecurity out of 10, the sector is only giving itself an average of 6 out of 10. So what I want to ask the panel today is, are we actually being too harsh on ourselves when it comes to cybersecurity, or maybe we're not being harsh enough? Jerry, I'm going to come to you first to start us off.
Okay. I don't think we are being overly harsh. I actually completed this for Mary Stevens Hospice, and I believe I graded us 5 or 6. But had I completed it 2 years ago, and I am very honest, I'd have completed it honestly, and I'd have only graded us at 2. We weren't aware of the issues, and we really thought it was an issue that big companies had and the big charities had. But after we were hacked, we suddenly woke up and we realized that it doesn't matter how big you are, how rich you are, if the hackers can get to you, they will cause you lots of problems. So 6 out of 10, I think, is a good place to be. I think if it was 10 out of 10, I've always got this problem that if you get 10 out of 10, you stop trying. So sometimes being lowered down makes you think I've got more work to do. And I always think about schools. A failing school is always given more resources, more money. It picks them up and they suddenly do well. So, no, I'd say 6 out of 10 is a good place to be. We've improved, but there's still a lot of work to do.
It's funny you should say that, Jerry, about Mary Stevens Hospice. Actually, 50% of our respondents didn't think their charity was likely to fall victim to a cyber attack. So you're not alone there. And I do think that is the case for quite a lot of charities out there, as I said in my intro. But it is very interesting that you should say this. So it actually leads me quite nicely onto another finding in the survey, that 68% of respondents said that they already take cybersecurity seriously. This does raise a red flag, similar to what you were saying, Jerry. If you think that you're already taking it seriously, then there's no movement there to continue doing it better. Emma, you were kind of, during the briefing when I mentioned this, you were shaking your head and you were saying that people need to continue maintaining. Do you want to kind of share any wisdom on the topic?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting when you look at, you know, what people said, and a lot of that was that no changes were needed at all out of that 68%. And the very nature of cybercrime is that it's constantly evolving and changing. You know, this is a very fluid thing. I mean, we know that we can't underestimate actually the enormity of cybercrime globally. But equally, it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere, and it will continually change. So it's great that we've got that 68%, but at the same time, it's not something that is static.
Yeah, definitely. I think the three key things I've pulled out there is maintain, develop, and respond when it comes to your cybersecurity. Going back to that 6 out of 10 stat, Jane, what are your thoughts there?
I find it surprising to think that lots of people, particularly in middle and small charities, who are so much under pressure financially, have actually even got the capacity to think about it as much as they should, quite honestly. And I think somebody also mentioned before when we were talking about this, the difficulty in getting funding for that kind of back office operation. You have to somehow manage to slot this in when you're supposed to be always working with people. And it's quite a difficult thing to do. So my concern would be that people don't even realise how much there is that needs to be thought about and needs to be done, unless you personally experienced it.
Yeah, that kind of builds onto like the personal expertise and everything like that, which we will go into in more detail. I think to give you some background on this 6 out of 10 as well is that 4 out of 5 charities I mentioned earlier have changed their behaviour to cybersecurity in the past 18 months. Obviously, we've all been working from home. We've all kind of been having to deal with cybersecurity in a different way because we're on our own rather than being in an office. You could just chat to your friend. Quite a lot of this. So within those stats, we saw that 43% have changed their behaviours because they've received more awareness from peers. So even though you're not sat in the same room, you're still getting that kind of colleague to colleague. And then also more kind of having more volunteers like yourselves come onto these podcasts or share your own stories when dealing with cyber attacks. 40% did say they saw an increase in breaches within the sector, which again, going back to that 68%, shows that we do need to continue to maintain and develop our strategy. And then also we've got a sad amount of 25% who have suffered their own breach in the past 18 months.
Can I just say, I think it's 25% who are honest about it personally. Yeah. I did hear a TED talk once, and he was an American, and he said, you're either a business that's been hacked and you know it, or you're a business that's been hacked and you don't know it. And I know from our experience, from the senior leadership team, initially there was a lot of embarrassment, and it was almost, let's keep this in-house, let's try to do this, you know, let's not tell anyone. And then we actually sat up and thought, no one's here gone out of their way to blatantly get us hacked. Someone made a mistake. So however knowledgeable you are going to make, and I keep saying it, one day I'm going to click on that link that's going to download some malware somewhere, and I won't do it on purpose. So yeah. I think there's probably more that have been hacked perhaps.
Yeah, and possibly the frightening thing is that you've already been hacked and you don't know it because they're just waiting for you.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Good point. In our case, the hacker was there for 24 hours and he could have been there for weeks potentially, but we were lucky it was caught within 24 hours.
No, I have heard of it, of situations not within this sector necessarily, where they sit and bide their time watching for much longer than that. Mm-hmm. But that's probably for large organisations where the stakes are higher.
We were actually quite unfortunate with our breach. They were behind the scenes for 10 days and they just completely did not make themselves known at all. And that's what they do. They understand your language, how you speak to your colleagues, who you speak to regularly, who you're working with regularly, and kind of can, and it's that human emotion side of things that can kind of, they get you. But that's really brilliant. Thank you all so much for sharing your wisdom on that topic. One thing we all said in the briefing for the podcast was that none of us, obviously except from Becca, are cybersecurity gurus, but we cybersecurity gurus, but we each have a passion for the topic. And that's whether that's due to us going through our own breach or just finding it rather interesting. When it comes to the sector, this seems to be a similar story. So we found that 32% of those who are responsible for cybersecurity within their charity have received no official certifications for this. And 36% of respondents don't feel that their leadership team is skilled or proficient when it comes to cybersecurity. Sorry, that was a bit of a tongue twister. Now, cybersecurity isn't just down to the leadership team. It is something that we all have to buy into. But what is it that the leadership team could be doing better to support their employees when it comes to cybersecurity? Jane, you mentioned that you were aware of CEO fraudulent activity. Would you be able to share a quick overview of this and kind of what it is that could have been put in place to limit this?
I mean, this particular incident that I know about did take place in a charity, and it was quite a few years ago now, maybe three or four, but it was absolutely classic at the time. The CEO was advertising that she wasn't going to be in the office. She was out doing a talk, and somebody received an email purporting to be from her saying, please set up this payment. It's really urgent. Do it now. And unfortunately accepted it as being true. And the payment got set up because classically it was all done in a hurry, and it was actually a not insignificant amount of money. And of course, once it had gone through the first time, they immediately emailed a second time to try and catch it while they people believed it was happening. Fortunately, that one was picked up and didn't go through. So it's you always think that you wouldn't fall for it, but honestly, it's there but for the grace of God, because if they've been, like you said, sitting there watching how you communicate, it's so easy to do.
Yeah.
There were a lot of reasons why it happened. It was, you know, why somebody didn't get picked up. I could sort of see the different reasons why it happened. And I think those hackers just got lucky. But I mean, they just tried. But that one must have been targeted specifically because the email came in on a day when the CEO was known to be making a speech.
Yeah, I do think that it is that opportunist side of things sometimes when it comes to that. And that is just so unfortunate. Jerry, you mentioned that you would have considered the charity to be part of that 50% who didn't think that they would be likely to be part of an attack. Yeah. Obviously, that was something that did happen. What is it that kind of, are there any skills and resources that you've now put in place that you can suggest to what we found to be the 40% of respondents who are not aware of training that's available?
Yeah. First of all, if I could say, the one thing that we've changed here is that it's not the senior leadership team, it's not the trustees, it's everybody. So everybody accepts that cybersecurity, data security is everybody's responsibility. And there are some technical things. I'm not an IT whiz, so I can't tell you what they are, but our IT company have put some technical safety nets in for us. But we keep saying to our staff, you're the first line of our defence. The big thing we have done, I think we did it really right. There was cries when we were hacked that the person that clicked on that phishing email should be sacked. We didn't, because actually she didn't blatantly do it. It wasn't purposely, let's zap this charity, let's make them lose money. She made a mistake. And we accepted it, and we've made, on our induction, we tell all of our staff, you know, you will make that mistake one day. I will make that mistake one day. Be honest and tell us, and we'll take action. And we've had 3, 4, 5 other potential since then, where the staff have suddenly shouted, I've clicked on this, oh, I don't know, I've done the right thing. So that's a bit of background. What we did after we were hacked, we use an American company called KnowBefore, who carry out regular phishing exercises. Now, some of our staff absolutely hate them, and they say to me, they're so frightening, Jerry. And I point out, hackers are frightening. So every 6 weeks, random emails will go out to staff at different times. And yeah, we are trying to catch them out, but we're trying to teach them what to look out for on these phishing emails. So the industry standard, we're told, in the charity and third sector is, I think it was 32% of staff click on phishing emails. When we started our exercises, we were about 28-29% of staff. We now, and it was terrible, in Cybersecurity Awareness Month, we did one, and even though we put out lots of other stuff about it every week, it was 9% of staff, which is the highest it's been in a long time. But we have some of these exercises where it's 0% or 2%, and we've never gone above 10% since January 2019. We pay about £1,000 a year for that, but it's got a training package on it. So every quarter, staff get a video to watch with a test. If they fail a phishing test, they get extra training. And a lot of staff say, you know, it's useful in my home life. It's not only useful in the charity at work, yeah. It's useful. So, yeah, you've got to spend a little bit of money, I think, because if not, you know, it's going to cost you a hell of a lot more if the hackers get on your system, as it did to us.
Yeah, I do think that no blame culture is such a big point. So thank you so much for bringing that up. I remember that from our first podcast together, Jerry, and that was such a big part of it. And I think you do have to remember that in order for people to come forward, you have to make that safe space for them to be able to say that. So it's brilliant that you've been able to do that. So going on from this, we saw that 46% of respondents said they don't have or don't know if their charity has a cybersecurity strategy in place. Now, Emma, speaking on behalf of a smaller charity, what cybersecurity strategy is it that you are currently putting in place, and how have you achieved that org-wide buy-in?
I mean, we're very much, you know, at the beginning of this journey. We did a big digital transformation project over 2019 into 2020. And I think now it's really where cybersecurity is being built into that. And that's about bringing our senior team along the journey with us, but also it's about the culture of the organization. So again, it's working across the organization with everyone. You know, we haven't had any big breaches, but we have had some things that have happened, you know, over the past couple of years. And that's where I think the finance team and other small teams across the charity, if we were more joined up in our thinking and we did have that cybersecurity policy, we would all just be a little bit more connected on this issue. And I think that's what we're focusing on now, is how we sort of embed it top down, bottom up, and here, there, and everywhere.
Brilliant, Emma. Yeah, that sounds great. I do think it's so important to have that. Like we said, it's not just on the leadership team, but you also need the leadership team to take responsibility and control of it. And if at that kind of company kind of face front value don't buy into the leadership team taking that responsibility, then you're kind of starting off on the wrong foot. So that is perfect. Okay, so I kind of want to look at what more we can do for the sector. So what is it that we can kind of offer to the sector?
Personally, what I would love to see is really easy to understand training materials that are free for us to get hold of. There's an awful lot of information out there, and I know there's a lot with the National Cybersecurity Centre as well. But what I find sometimes is it's quite hard to work out where to go and where to find it. And the other thing I feel like I really do want to say is some of the things you're asked, the hoops you're asked to jump through on cybersecurity seem counterintuitive. So Cyber Essentials is something that we haven't looked at in detail yet. We're still just starting on our journey as well. But we do some work with the NHS, and I have to do their data security self-assessment toolkit. And some of the questions in that were completely farcical, didn't relate to us at all. Some hoops they expect you to jump through, which I couldn't see how they could possibly make anything more secure or more safe. So a little bit of joined up thinking and practical thinking would also be lovely.
Okay, brilliant. I love that. All of us pulling in the same direction. Emma, any thoughts from your side in the smaller charity space?
I mean, I would say maybe sort of less daunting information, you know, so it is about trying to make the messaging and the comms as sort of accessible as possible. And I would say, you know, personal stories, you know, really sort of like honing in on stories and how it's really on the ground affected people. You know, so we often at charities, we often hear that it's the big ones. And I think that you can easily, as a small charity, maybe switch off from that a little bit. But as we know with the stats, you know, small charities are definitely being hit by this and they're vulnerable. But I think it just needs to be in a language that is a lot more sort of accessible and a bit more people focused.
Brilliant. So let's do a big call out today. Those that are listening, if you do have a story that you want to share, then email us at events@charitydigital.org.uk and we can tell your story, because I do think that's such a big thing. And something that we are trying to get the sector to do. So that's why we love volunteers like today to come and share your thoughts. Jerry, any final thoughts from you there?
Yeah, I think, as we've all said, that there is a ton of information out there, but it's a case of finding it. And as Jane said, the National Cybersecurity Command does have a lot of information. And we used, I think it's called the Small Charities Booklet, some of the information from there. But also the webinars, which Charity Digital, I quite often, I don't take part in every one, but I sit and listen in to a lot of them. And there's little snippets, which are really useful. But I think that our biggest asset is all of us. You know, we all help each other out. So when we made mistakes, we told people what we did wrong. We then told them what we hope we've done to put right. And it's about sharing. It's not always sharing the good. You've also got to share the bad and say we did this wrong. We've gone down the route of Cyber Essentials and Cyber Essentials Plus. And I have to echo what Jane says about the NHS Data Protection Toolkit. It is mind-boggling. But sometimes the cost of some of these things can be a little bit too much for small charities. So we did Cyber Essentials Plus last year. Our accreditation has just run out. And as I speak to you today, I hope I go through the final hoop tomorrow for this year's accreditation. But it would be so nice if somebody could do something to make it cheaper for charities. I think a lot more charities would take up the offer. And actually, by us doing it, we've learned a lot. Only yesterday I was speaking to the assessors, and that the mobile phone is something I hadn't really thought about. So we're checking everybody's software's up to date on their personal mobile phones. It is just about sharing, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, because like you say, that's stuff that people wouldn't really think about. When you think of work, you think of your work laptop. You kind of don't really think about those times that you might log on your phone or you might log on your personal laptop, and it all does count. I remember when we first started working from home, Siv made us all kind of give all our home Wi-Fi information so that he was aware of all of that. And it's interesting how you don't think about all that stuff.
Well, we're also pushing it that actually what we're trying to tell you is to protect us, Mary Stevens Hospice, but it will also protect you at home when you're shopping on Amazon, when you're going onto your banking app and things like that. It's all really good knowledge, because none of us can do without it now.
Exactly. Brilliant. This actually leads me on to my final stat of the podcast, which is 27% of our respondents were not aware of the effect of cyber attack would have on their charity. Go on, Jerry. You looked like you were going to jump straight in there.
No, I wasn't. Honestly, I wasn't. But I can do. We weren't aware. 2 years ago, we weren't aware. We had a hacker on our system. Very frightening experience for everybody. Actually, to put right what that hacker did, it was just in excess of £15,000. But again, we were very upfront. We reported ourselves to the ICO, the Charity Commission, Action Fraud. And every single one of those organisations, not one of them came back to us and said, you shouldn't have done this. Have you thought about this? Have you considered this? Yeah. And they all tried to guide us through it. And it was, it's really made us, I think this is a terrible thing to say, but in a way, the hackers did us a favour. Everybody here is so aware of it. Now, that's not an invitation for anyone else to have a go. But there isn't a single member of staff here, from the CEO, nurses, domestic staff stewards. Everybody's aware of it. Everybody takes part in that training.
Yeah, because you've almost all bonded together because of the situation, and it's put everyone in the same direction.
Yeah, and we do know we've all got the common enemy. That hacker is the common enemy.
Yeah, brilliant. I thought of something as you were speaking then, Jerry, because I think one of the things you mentioned quite early on in another podcast was how to help other people. And I remember when we went through our breach, I was like, we need to speak to Jerry because Jerry's been through this and he'll know how to deal with it. And that's, again, what we're all providing here. And I think Emma, Jane, you'd be the same. Like, it's kind of creating that support group for people to be able to reach out to. So on that note, are there any final words that you would like to share with our audience on kind of the effects a cyber attack would have, or just for them to kind of point out and help with their going forward with cyber criminals?
All I say is you don't have to be an expert, and I am not an expert in any shape or form. I'm now knowledgeable because it's happened to us, but I've just taken advantage of so many free resources. Even some of the security firms will say, we're having a security morning, have a round table. They try to sell you their business, and I don't buy it off them, but I've spent a morning learning from them. And I think most small charities can't afford, you know, their own cybersecurity experts, their own IT staff. We don't have any here. So that's why it's everybody's responsibility. It's no single person's responsibility.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that we've been offered some pro bono support. So that does exist. And I think, you know, if we can share some of those contacts or understand where that free support is, that's really, really key. But I would also say that I do think that funders have a responsibility in this as well. And it would be interesting to know, you know, how the funding community is sort of talking about this and how they're thinking about supporting their grantees with some of this expertise and support going forward as well.
Yeah, brilliant. We'll pop all those resources on the Charity Digital webpage for where the podcast will live and make sure that gets out to everybody, because I think that's a really good point. If there is that pro bono support out there, then we should definitely share that. Thank you, Emma. Lovely. Well, that is all I have time for today. I have Sasha messaging me telling me I've timed out, but I honestly think that we could talk about this all day. Thank you, Jane, Jerry and Emma for joining me today, and Becca on behalf of the NCSC for letting us run the survey. It has been a pleasure and very eye-opening, I think, for everybody. If our listeners enjoyed this podcast, then don't forget to rate and subscribe while going to check out the many more that we have available through your usual podcast provider. This helps other people like you find us and keep on learning. As mentioned, we'll be adding all the resources from today to our Charity Digital website for you to be able to share with your colleagues, and we can all push together in the right direction. Thank you all again, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.